you're in the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, I have to say here on the Paracast that Chris and I do not pretend to be perfect. Well, Chris is perfect because he's a trickster, and tricksters are always perfect. I tend to be less perfect. So we did make a mistake, an understandable mistake, but a mistake nonetheless. So last week, I mentioned on the show an article that basically said Aztec is really Roswell. The Aztec case in New Mexico was just a distortion of the Roswell case. It was an article.
Yeah, good theory. I like the theory.
Yes, it is. Very good theory. I mentioned it to Kevin Randall, and he seemed to think it was also an interesting point and worth discussing. It appeared at a site called UFO Iconoclast. And we knew that Tony Bregaglia was one of the contributors, and we assumed, or you assumed anyway, that Tony had written this article, because this is the kind of contrary point of view he takes. Well, after we did the show, we since learned that Tony didn't write the article. It was written by the main proprietor of that blog, Richard Reynolds.
Yeah.
But still a good idea. But Bregaglia disavows it. It's not his point of view.
Well, it'd be easy to just stick your name on something if you're the one that writes it. I mean, hello.
Well, he claims he puts his name on the stuff he writes, and therefore that would mean that what? That Richard Reynolds writes everything else? I don't know. It's confusing because if you look at the site, there's no real name anywhere. There's just an email address.
Yeah, they kind of have this sort of shadowy sort of presence, and I guess they like it that way. They tend to be a little snooty, I think, at times. Rich Reynolds tends to talk down to people. But they do come up with some good stuff, and I do visit the site from time to time when articles are posted. Of course, our friend Lance Moody is there, our arch skeptic thorn in the side. Lance has, I think, a page there, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Lance is fun. I mean, I enjoy hearing from him. He likes to push buttons, and sometimes he pushes the buttons in the wrong way, in the wrong parts of the anatomy, I guess.
I was going to say.
And sometimes he gets banned from our forums when he gets too far, but he's back in again. I think he's been banned 3 or 4 times.
I saw him
post 1 or 2 messages, but you know, our original co-host wanted me to ban him from the forums on several occasions when he got really ornery. But I haven't banned you from the forums yet, Chris. Would you like to be?
We can. I really have worked on the creative flaming techniques over the years, and I do skirt close to the edge, but I don't think I've really done anything that deserves to be looked at in terms of being banned. We might have some posters that would disagree with that, but you know, when people push my buttons, I do tend to push back. So what can I say? You know, I'm only human. I'm a passionate guy. And I stick up for my friends.
Right. Now, it's also difficult, we understand, that when you bring someone on the show and he's your friend, and now you're in a position where you have to question them, but not just question them, maybe be critical of what they have to say. It's difficult, but we try.
Well, having Ron James on, I mean, the guys, I've worked for him off and on for 8 years. I mean, he hired me to go out to do editing work out in California. What am I going to do, attack him? I guess, you know. We did take exception to a few things that he had to say about the citizen hearing and some of the controversy surrounding the inclusion of some presenters there. And we didn't make any bones about it. We felt that there were some questionable selections there, and he begged to differ, and we got into it a little bit and discussed it. Just because I'm friends with somebody, and a lot of the people that we have on the show, I'd say a majority of them I've known for years in some cases, and you know, I do have a certain amount of respect, just personal respect for people. You know, mama raised me right, but you know, occasionally, you know, we do get some flack on the forums that we're being too soft on people. We're not asking probing enough questions. And, you know, I think, Gene, if you look at some of the podcasts out there, and there's quite a number of them, first of all, they don't even know how to do a radio show. The technical side of it is highly suspect. But some of these shows are just, you know, they just pander to the true believers. And we want to know. We want to get to the core of an issue, core of a subject. We want to ascertain as many facts and unassailable data as we possibly can, separate that signal from the noise. And I think we do a really good job doing that. And some people, if they take exception to that, well, that's their prerogative. And, you know, this is barely still a free country, and everybody does have, you know, some remaining freedom of speech rights. So the same holds true here at the Paracast.
Yes, the NSA is watching us real carefully, but we do hope we have some sort of freedom to talk about the things we say. By the way, one of the figures in the book that we're going to discuss later in the show was actually visited a number of times by the government for things he said.
Yeah.
So that's fairly interesting, and we'll get into that a little bit later, because we're going to talk about two larger-than-life people whose lives were very much fiction stories a little bit later. But let me get back to Ron James. I think part of the problem, of course, is that he has a working relationship with people like Stephen Bassett, or maybe he's had too much of the Kool-Aid, because he believes, absolutely, UFOs are spaceships, the government knows what's going on, we just have to get them to disclose it. But, you know, there's also something which cites the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again, thinking there's going to be a different result.
No.
So I ask the people who say, okay, the government has this project or this knowledge inside about UFOs being spaceships, tell us the truth. Let's get congressional hearings or something. Well, let's go back to the 1950s. Major Donald Kehoe, retired Marine Corps major, wrote lots of articles about aviation, knew people in the military, wrote these best-selling books about UFOs. His first one summed up everything. Flying Saucers from Outer Space, 1950-51. They're from outer space. There is it. The government is keeping a secret. He had a book out called The Flying Saucer Conspiracy. He lobbied through this organization, NICAP, for years to get congressional hearings. And finally, because of the Michigan sightings in the 1960s, then Congressman Gerald Ford arranged for those hearings. We got the Condon Committee arose over this congressional hearing. Of course, they whitewashed the whole subject. So why do we assume 60 years later, 50 years later, that if we do exactly what Major Kehoe did in the 50s and 60s, that we will get a different result? Why assume today we'll fare any better?
No, I don't know. That's a $64,000 question. I just have this sneaking hunch that even if the government did know something and was willing to disclose it, it wouldn't satisfy people out there. I think the real down and dirty data, information, I think, is held in the hands of the aerospace companies and in the private sector. And I think that most political figures who come and go don't have a need to know in the eyes of the people that are controlling the information. And I think the more you know about this subject, I've said this many times, the more you know about the subject is in proportion to how confused you are. And I think the government and the military and the aerospace companies do know quite a bit more about this subject. That's why they're even more confused. Can we go round and round every so often on this subject? And you're right, Gene. The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And it's not going to happen.
What's going to happen next is we're going to talk about a book called War Over Lemuria, subtitled Richard Shaver, Ray Palmer, and the Strangest Chapter of 1940 Science Fiction by Richard Taranto. And remember, Shaver and Palmer were responsible for introducing countless numbers of people to the possibility of UFOs or flying saucers. So there are lots and lots, did I say, lots of important things to talk about here. They were larger-than-life figures. Fascinating. Our guest will be Richard Taranto, the author, and Geneva Hagen, who with me co-edited Caveat Emptor magazine. We both knew Shaver, and she's got great insights. All this, so much more coming. You're in
the Paracast.
Okay, so who is watching your home when you're not there? Help protect your home with a security system monitored by ADT. It's the leader in home security. Remember, ADT is the number one monitoring service in the country. It comes with world-famous ADT yard signs. The monitoring cost is just $1 a day. You probably pay more for coffee. This is the safety for your family and your possessions. You can save up to 20% on homeowners insurance. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer. Call now and get $850 of equipment and activation free. Call 1-866-778-3127. Call 1-866-778-3127. And here's our fast disclaimer. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35 to $39 per month. Call for terms and conditions and license numbers.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro Plant Powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with Micro Plant Powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast this week, we're going to go back in time, but we're going to tell you how the UFO field began and also what we call here in Richard Toronto's book, The Strangest Chapter of 40 Science Fiction. The feeling I have is that without a guy like Ray Palmer and the people who followed him, some of the popularization of science fiction would not have occurred. It would have been the province of a few dozen fans. And by making it mass market, it paved the way for Forbidden Planet movies like that. In the 50s, in the 70s, Star Wars, in the 60s, Star Trek, continuing to the present day. All this came out of the kind of science fiction that Ray Palmer championed. Richard Toronto joins us, also Geneva Hagen. Richard, I loved your book, every word of it, And it's an incredible amount of research because Shaver and Palmer were larger-than-life figures, and a lot of the things they told about themselves were fiction. Right, Richard?
This is true. This is what made it so difficult to write that book. When, the more you look into both characters, the more you realize they had certain things in common. Now, when Ray Palmer was growing up, everybody knows the story about his accident and how horrible it was, and he goes into it in his autobiography. You know all that part. And a couple of times, people like Howard Brown and Paul Fairman and others claimed that that accident made him bitter. Well, it didn't really make him bitter, but no one really understood how trauma like that, and that's what it was severe trauma to a very young boy, how that kind of trauma, now called PTSD, how it could affect one's thinking and outlook on the world, and that's what I think formed Ray Palmer's outlook, and a lot of it had to do with creating the world like he would rather have it be. And that's what made it really difficult to separate fact from fiction when I wrote it.
Where did you have to go to put the true story together? We know what Palmer wrote because all that stuff's available, but how did you go back to find the facts about his background, his experiences, and amazing stories about Fate magazine, about the stuff he did thereafter?
Well, and, you know, when he wrote Martian Diary, which became part of The Secret World, you know, it had Richard Shaver's rock book in there, he said that was going to be the official final say on the truth. He was going to reveal all. This was the actual fact, and nobody could discount it after that because this was his official version of the story. Well, there were still so many discrepancies and non-facts in there, it was pathetic. Like his education. He claimed he graduated high school. He didn't graduate from high school. I had to call every school in Milwaukee that was existent at the time he was a student to find out where he was, and that took me a while. And a lot of people wouldn't talk to me about it, but piece by piece, I got it. He basically went to work at about 16 years old, being a bookkeeper for the P.J. Levy Company. You remember that story?
One thing we should mention for people who don't know the full story. As a small child, Ray Palmer was hit, I guess, by a truck, suffered severe injuries, severe deformity. He was basically never grew beyond 4 feet 8 inches. He was also a hunchback, although he did stand upright. And you think, of course, when they say hunchback, they think of the movie The Hunchback of Notre Dame or something like that. But, you know, he made it through life. He was married. He had a great family, despite his deformity. But it also made him, I suppose, defensive or overcompensating in his behavior.
Well, if you think about it, before the accident, he was like the little child prodigy. His mother entered him in this contest where he was the healthy baby for the Gridley Dairy contest, you know, and his picture was on milk bottle caps, and he was just the epitome of the perfect little baby. Well, that affects you as a kid, too. You know, you think, well, I'm pretty special. I'm a perfect baby, and then he gets in this accident. Well, the accident was he somehow wedged his foot in the wooden spokes of this truck. Now, even the type of truck it is, it runs the gamut between a milk truck, a butcher truck, a beer truck. No one seems to have the exact actual type of truck it was, but it was a truck. He put his leg in there, and the truck took off. And so what that did, it pulled him up. You know, those were big wheels in those days. Pulled him up and then whacked him down into the pavement head first. And this happened a few times over and over. So it fractured his spine, basically broke his back. and his father wouldn't take him to the hospital. Now, this is the other thing about Ray Palmer's history, the relationship with his father, which was not good. His father was an alcoholic, and because his father wouldn't face the facts, Ray Palmer basically was doomed to this life of deformity.
Is that another reason why he would maybe retreat into himself, expand his imagination, and become a science fiction fan and later a science fiction editor and writer, because he could create his own imaginary universe and exist within it?
Exactly. And, you know, he spent a lot of time alone because he was stuck in that hammock-like thing because he wasn't supposed to move. But then periodically his father thought he should come out and socialize and everything. Well, how do you go from being the perfect baby and then thrown into the world looking like, you know, a little hunchback? You know, and people are not going to react the same way to you as they did before. People stared. One of the things he hated was the look of pity in people's eyes. You know, family, friends would come over and they would pity him, and he hated that, which is what spurred him on to try and prove everybody was wrong about his future. They thought he was going to be, you know, some cripple selling apples on the corner or something.
And the other thing is, of course, is that over his life, on a number of occasions, and we're not going to go into those details, it's in the book, they pretty well gave him up for dead.
Yep.
Yet he hung out till he was in his late 60s, which was probably six decades longer than people might have thought he would have lived. Okay, so we have Ray Palmer, becomes a science fiction fan and later becomes editor of Amazing Stories and Fantastic and all those great Ziff Davis titles in the late 30s. Then we have the parallel universe there of Richard Schaefer, who also had a fairly interesting background. Let's talk a little bit about that. We're going to have to do a break in a few seconds, so maybe I'll just point out something here that our listeners may know. I met Ray Palmer in 1965, talked to him on the phone a few times after that. Geneva and I met Richard Schaefer at his cottage in Summit, Arkansas, back in the early 70s, a few years before his death, and later on Geneva will tell you about that. So we have some fascinating remembrances. But right now, in our next segment, we'll be focusing a little bit about the life of Richard Schaefer, how he got started. The book is War Over Lemuria from Richard Taranto. We also have Geneva Hagen joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Oklahoma reminds us there are many kinds of storms in our lives. Nature regularly sends us destructive storms. 24 hours before a storm strikes, people panic. It would be wise to prepare ahead of the panic curve. The food price storm from drought and livestock problems is forecast to hit ridiculous heights by the end of the summer. Wonder if there'll really be a problem? eFoods Direct has a plan to maximize your food dollar and guarantee you'll be glad you ordered food. Until July 10th, buy three of any food item and receive the fourth one free with free shipping. The guarantee. After September 20th, when you've seen what happened with food prices and shortages, if you're not glad you ordered food, return the food unopened for a full refund. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. Your peace of mind guarantee. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Richard Toronto is with us. We have Geneva Hagen joining Gene and Chris. We talk about Richard Shaver and Ray Palmer and all the wacky stuff that happened in 1940s science fiction. So now the course of life. Richard Shaver. Richard Toronto, tell us a little bit about his background and what made him, as they say, approach someone like Ray Palmer.
At the point that Richard Shaver met Ray Palmer through the mail, of course, Shaver had just gotten out of Ionia State Hospital for the Criminally Insane. He got out of there in May 1943. After that, Shaver went back to his parents' home in Bartow, Pennsylvania. They had a little 3 or 4 acre farm there, and it was kind of a restful place for Shaver to be, and he was recovering from about 10 years incarcerated, although he had escaped a few times, the longest being about from 1937 to sometime in 1938, so almost a year he was on the lam.
Now, we should tell our listeners that at least the first incarceration, he may have been railroaded to that. Why was he incarcerated?
Well, he started hearing voices. Now, as everybody knows, the story goes that he started hearing it through his welding gun. When the problem started, let's say, he was married to Sophie Gervich Shaver. She was a young Communist League member. And Shaver joined the party.
You understand here, a lot of people in the 30s joined the Communist Party. Today, you know, you think about all this, say, what were they doing? They wanted to destroy this country. No, this was, for a while, a fairly normal thing to happen for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. This was before the Cold War. And the Communist Party and socialism was not seen then as it's seen now. It's been demonized now since the Cold War. But in those days, Shaver was probably coming from a place like Jack London, you know, in his writings, or maybe D. Traven. These were people that were looking out for the working man. And at that point in time, corporate America was really tromping on the working man. They They had no say. This was when unions were just beginning. Shaver was living in Detroit in the early 30s, and in 1932, the Ford massacre happened, and that's when a bunch of protesters during the Depression marched. It was a peaceful demonstration up to a point when the police came, and then they started throwing dirt clods at the police, and then the police opened up, and so did Ford's henchmen, and a few people were killed, a lot of people injured, and this is what caused a certain solidarity among communists in Detroit at that time. A lot of the people who worked on the assembly lines were communists and socialists, but it, like I say, it wasn't the same kind of deal as it is now.
Okay, so Shaver is hearing voices.
Right. So what happened was Shaver's brother, Tate, died. That was one thing. And another thing I found out was there was an extreme stress going on between the Shaver family, which he was very tight with his family, and the Gervich family, who's an old country Russian Jewish family. They were not happy about the marriage, and neither was the Shaver family happy about their marriage. They got married in 1932, I believe. So they had a lot of pressure from both sides of the family. Then Brother Tate dies. Then, as the story goes, Richard Shaver just slipped out and started walking. Well, I don't know where he walked. I don't know how long he walked. But during this walk, he got sunstroke, supposedly. He told me this, too. He claimed that he was in the hospital for 2 weeks with sunstroke. Well, he may have been in for 2 weeks for sunstroke, but it wasn't too many years after that he was put in Ypsilanti because he was hearing voices. So it could have been this vortex of all these things going on in his life. His mother said that his breakdown was a long time coming, but I don't know what she meant by that. So that's when the voices started, and his wife, Sophie, is the one that committed him.
How did this make him criminally insane?
Well, he was in Ypsilanti State Hospital, which was a lower security facility, and in fact would allow outpatient visits to their old home. And since Sophie was his guardian, this was all through the courts, she was became his guardian, she could say, okay, he can come home for the weekend or for a week or whatever, and I'll take responsibility for him. And they didn't seem to have a problem with that at Ypsilanti. But when Sophie died in that freak accident in the bathtub, she was electrocuted. Remember that? It was a crazy story. But that was in December 37. She died. He has no guardian at that point. And at that time, Sophie had allowed him to go back to Bartow to stay with his parents because everybody agreed he'd be better off staying there with his parents, you know, for recovery. So here he is in Bartow. His wife is electrocuted. No, he has no guardian. And I haven't told you the other part, that his wife's family hated him. Okay, that was what it boiled down to. And they did not want him associating with his own daughter. So at that point, Sophie's family decides they're going to appoint their lawyer as his guardian. His name was Louis Tendler. So in January of 37 and 38, but it's right in there. He gets appointed as Shaver's guardian. Well, when Shaver finds this out, he just takes off without telling his parents where he's going or anybody where he's going, because he didn't say it, but I suspect he was afraid they were going to put him back in Ypsilanti because he didn't have Sophie, who was more sympathetic to his case. So he went on the lam for a year. So that's an escape. A lot of people say, well, There's no discharge paper from Ypsilanti, so how could he be in Ionia, which is a really high security facility? Well, there was no discharge because he escaped from Ypsilanti. And that's why they finally decided when they caught him a year later that they were going to lock him up and throw away the key.
Okay, let's now look at this confluence of events here. What was Schaefer doing when he first hooked up with Ray Palmer, and how did he do it? And before we go on, we have about 50 seconds to start this answer. So go ahead, Richard.
Okay. Well, while he was in Ionia, there was no way for him to get out, like he used to go on visits, and nobody came to visit him except once in 1938. It was Sophie's sister, Rose, came to visit him. And he was pretty much hung out to dry. So he had plenty of time to ruminate and think, and he did a lot of writing, and he did a lot of research in scientific matters. And that's when he started writing his science down, you know, DMT physics and electrochems and the mech and all this stuff. He was, I don't know what was going on with him, but he could have been having visions, but he was also having shock treatments there, too.
We'll get into more of Richard Schaefer and Ray Palmer, and what went on in science fiction and where it led. In fact, it led to the beginnings of the UFO field. The book is War Over Lemuria with Richard Taranto. We also have Geneva Hagen with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hi, my name is DeRay, suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle, actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise@GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, after we go through this history and very quickly what happened with the Shaver mystery, we're going to mention the fact that I did meet Ray Palmer. As I mentioned before, I'll tell you about that visit, and Geneva will tell you about the visit we both made to Richard Shaver in the 70s when he was talking about something called rock books. Okay, Richard Toronto is author of War Over Lemuria, talking about the fact that Shaver was put into mental institutions, probably railroaded there. But at some point, he created this new alphabet, the Mantung alphabet, which is what he sent to Palmer, right?
That's right. That was one of the things he worked on that he discovered while he was in Ionia. And that's what seemed to click with Ray Palmer. And another incident, there's so many of these little incidents, you know, these little miracle incidents in their lives. And as I pointed out in the book, if it weren't for Howard Brown, I don't think the Shaver mystery ever would have happened.
Tell us the story. This is fascinating here. He was an assistant editor at Amazing Stories.
That's right.
And he gets this letter. What happened next?
Well, the backstory is that that Howard Brown and Ray Palmer always kind of had this feud going. Howard disapproved of Ray Palmer. Howard was a very good writer. He wrote a series of detective novels, and he was editor of Mammoth Mysteries and Mammoth Detective for Zip Davis. But he had to do what Ray Palmer told him to do because he worked as his assistant also. And Ray Palmer never let him forget that. So here, you know, Howard always got stuck with mail duty. So he was reading this letter from Shaver, and he just couldn't believe his eyes, and so he made fun of the letter. And Ray Palmer was there, and he was listening to all this. And like I said, if Howard had just thrown the letter away
and kept his mouth shut,
that would have been the end of it. Ray Palmer never would have met Richard Shaver. But it's irony that Howard Brown, one of the biggest critics of Ray Palmer and the Shaver mystery, actually helped create the whole situation, and I don't think that irony was lost on him. That's how it all started.
I love your description in the book where he throws the letter away and it's fished out of the wastebasket. It's smoothed out, and then he's told to print it in its entirety. I love that little. It's just a fascinating little bit there.
I wonder, by the way, before you finish your question there, Chris, whether Palmer partly did that to spite Brown. Chris?
Ray Palmer, it seems to me, you know, never having met the man, but it seems like a lot of things he did always left room for interpretation. You didn't know if he was serious, whether that twinkle in the eye was some sort of vindictive agenda, or, you know, you get this real sense of Palmer. He was a real trickster in many ways. And I love the section also, Richard, in the book where they printed a request for, you know, ancient language experts or linguists to look at this alphabet, and they got 100 replies. And then when the story came out of where the alphabet came from, nobody would touch it.
That's right, yeah. And that's the way it went with Shaver. You know, he would propose. He was always great at proposing all these ideas. But then as soon as people heard, you know, where he was getting his information, they just didn't want anything to do with it.
Now, that's the big thing here, too. The stories originally came out as science fiction.
Right.
Right. Heavily rewritten, edited by Palmer. But Shaver's truth was that there were caves down there. Tell us more.
Well, Palmer, you know, didn't want to say that at first, and that was one of the first of many gaps to Shaver. Ray Palmer called it racial memory. He didn't think that the fact that Shaver had visited caverns and found all this out as fact would work. So he said the whole story of I Remember Lemuria was... Shaver got it from racial memory. But after that issue and so many people wrote in, then Palmer felt a little more emboldened and decided, yeah, okay, we'll go with what Shaver's telling me. But this is, you know, fact. This is, he was there. He was in the caverns. And as time went on, Palmer even... started to claim that he knew certain things about Lemuria and Mu, that he was sort of a reincarnated person from, you know, the elder time himself, and that we should all of us reincarnated Lemurians should gather around and support each other and everything.
I have a question as to how many subscribers they would have had at that time, and of those, how many people wrote in?
Well, Palmer always said that the Shaver mystery increased their circulation by 50,000. And I think they were hovering before that around 125,000 or 130,000. So, and that's what William Hamling told me, too. He said about 50,000 extra people were brought in by the Shaver mystery.
And how many of those people wrote to say that it was actually true?
That is up for grabs. Nobody knows for sure. Palmer once described the letters as like a stack standing 4 feet high in front of his publisher or whatever. There was always talk of these thousands of letters. But Shaver even said that he never really got to see the letters. I don't know who else saw these letters other than Ray Palmer and maybe, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, the indication was that there were a lot of people out there in the readership that were hearing voices.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it still happens, so it was going on then, too.
Exactly. And what I found interesting is how far we've come, because now there's the Hearing Voices Network, a support group for people who hear voices. And as I point out in the book, more than just the Shaver mystery being some interesting science fiction series, it was a venue, a place for people who did hear voices to go for support. That, you know, it was like, wow, here's somebody else that's hearing voices, and they're kind of saying what, you know, I hear. And he was ahead of his time, really, in psychological terms. If you look at it in psychological terms, Amazing Stories was becoming sort of this psychological support group for people who were hearing voices. And when Biff kicked the Shaver mystery out, it took another 40 years before actual professors and people with degrees started looking at this and saying, yeah, you know, you don't have to be a totally schizophrenic, crazy person to live a normal life, but you hear voices. You just have to come to terms with it.
That's a quick question here. Now, were the stories in the writings of these people, were they consistent with what Shaver claimed?
Palmer said that they were, and Shaver said they were too. Shaver always said that it was too coincidental for everyone saying something very similar. You know, he pointed out in this early Fate piece, he wrote it as G.H. Irwin, called 20 Million Maniacs, you remember that? It was all about people who heard voices. Now, this was, I think, in the very first issue of Fate. So I think that G.H. Irwin was a pen name, a house name that Rapp used.
Rapp, by the way, is Raymond A. Palmer. He signed all his articles with the three letters.
Right. Everybody called him Rapp. Anyway, three people used that house name. One was Leroy Yerxa, the man who introduced Ray Palmer to his future wife, Marjorie. And the other man was Richard Shaver, and the third man was Ray Palmer. So three people used that name. Well, in 1948, by that time, only two were left living, Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver. So I think that the article was written by both. But in that article, G.H. Irwin points out that people who hear voices often will relate really similar things that they're saying. And he postulated that, why are they saying all the same thing? You know, shouldn't they be coming up with all different things that the voices would be telling him? But the voices are being very consistent. So he used that as part of his argument that there was a single source for the voices.
And we'll discuss what that source was supposedly in our next segment, but we now have to do our break. Richard Taranto joining us. The book is War Over Lemuria. We're joined by Geneva Hagen with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.